Well, this is a dramatic number. Not as dramatic as the next, but dramatic. Fireside Chat number 299. Boy, I know I say it a lot, so forgive me. Things fly. Time flies. Tempus fugit, as they say in Latin. Dennis Prager here, Fireside Chat 299. Normally, there is a canine companion in there, but Otto has passed on and deeply missed. And Mr. Tubbs is too young to stay in one spot for any period of time. But hopefully he will. I know you've gotten glimpses of him, and I look forward to having him next to me. Anyway, welcome to the Fireside Chat. I always open up with some thoughts, and I will this time as well, and then take your questions. Did I even say my name?
You did.
Okay, good. Then there's no need to repeat it. Very, very worrisome thing that I want to bring to your attention. I don't like bringing worrisome things to your attention because I have spent much more of my time trying to get people not scared than scared, especially during the lockdowns, during which the entire time I had Fireside Chats, we didn't miss one. And I was telling you then, don't be frightened. Lead as normal a life as possible, and certainly I did. But here is something that is about as scary as it gets, short of an attack by extraterrestrials. This just came out literally within a few days ago. Most Americans, this is from Pew Research Center. This is not a conservative source. I wouldn't even say it's a liberal source, though it probably leans a bit in that direction, but it doesn't matter. So I think it's more or less one of the most prestigious polling outfits in the United States of America. Here's the headline. Most Americans favor restrictions on false information. By the way, it's interesting that they didn't put false information in quotes. They should have. Okay. But that's, we'll put that aside. So listen to the progress, or if you will, the regress in American opinion since 2018, just 5 years ago. Should the U.S. government, not private enterprise, take steps to restrict false information online, even if it limits freedom of information? 2018, 39%. 2021, 48%. 2023, 55%. The government should restrict free speech if they say it's false information on the internet. The United States of America, the freest country in the history of the world. Now, one other little piece of data. Among Democrats and those who lean Democrat, 70%. Among Republicans, 39%. That the government should take steps to restrict false information online, even if it limits freedom of information. This is scary. I don't get scared easily. The most important freedom in the world is freedom of speech. The most important freedom there is. Because without it, every other freedom dies. If people cannot say what they think, then among other things, you have been rendered a robot. Your dignity is shattered. You become a cog. It is truly scary. That is the freedom that matters. There are other freedoms that matter. But that is the most important freedom. That is why it is the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, that the government shall not abridge the rights of people to speech. It doesn't say unless it's not accurate, in which case the government can suppress it. Free speech applies to all speech except immediate calls for violence that will result in injury or death. The classic being yelling fire in a crowded theater. That free speech doesn't apply to that, but that's, of course, not political speech in any event. We're talking about your opinions. Fire in a crowded theater is in order for people to trample over one another. You have to understand that every tyrannical government, the most vicious governments in history, have used the line, oh, that's false information or misinformation, in order to shut down all dissent and opposition. That is all that this is about. That half of Americans and the vast majority of Democrats do not understand that is proof that the last generations of Americans did not teach their children what free speech is about, what freedom is about, which I know is the case. Parents did not teach this. Ronald Reagan, President of the United States, the 1980s, said, "We are always one generation away from losing freedom." People thought it was a sweet line. He was entirely accurate. That is correct. Human beings do not cherish freedom. They cherish being taken care of. They cherish power, but they don't cherish freedom. A minority of human beings cherish freedom. I know it sounds amazing because you think, what? Who doesn't want to be free? The answer? Most people. They want to be well-fed, and they want, in many cases, to be in power. And they don't want to be bothered by other opinions. During the lockdowns, those of us who said the lockdowns were an awful idea were accused of misinformation. Those who said children should not get vaccinated were accused of misinformation. Those who said children should go to school and not be locked out of school were charged with misinformation. That's the charge that every tyrant gives. Putin in Russia says all those who oppose his regime and are reporting on the war in a negative way, the war in Ukraine, they are engaged in misinformation or disinformation. That we have a party in the United States, most of whose members actually think the way communists thought, is very scary. That's what I mean. It's just scary. Who are you to tell me what is misinformation? You can tell me, but who are you to stop me from speaking? The Prime Minister of New Zealand said, I play this excerpt on my radio show all the time, if you don't hear it from the government, it is not true. Every dictatorship said exactly the same thing. And most people in New Zealand thought that was fine. If you don't hear it from the government, it is not true. Why? Is the government incapable of lying? Is the government incapable of making a mistake? Listen, you know, that the famous medieval issue with Galileo, the astronomer who said that the Earth revolved around the sun, and there were those in the Catholic Church who opposed it. And so people laugh at the Catholic Church at that time. But that's 500 years ago. It was wrong, the Catholic Church. At least one could understand. Look at the time in which we're speaking. But that's exactly what people on the left in modern America are saying. You can shut people down. Because you have the power to do so. That's all it is. It's you have the power to do so. I don't know where we're going in this regard. And young people are more supportive of suppressing free speech than old people. Of course, because they've been brainwashed longer. They haven't been taught how severe an issue that this is. So this is quite something. You can say that what I say is misinformation, but you cannot do a thing to suppress my saying it. That's the way it works. It's called misinformation now if you say that there are only two sexes or only two genders, as the left puts it. That's called misinformation. I dare say misinformation is to say there are more than two sexes or more than two genders. That's misinformation. But I would never suppress your right to say it. You think there are 52 genders like Facebook does. Okay, that's you're entitled to your distorted view of humanity. If you think it's okay for men to compete against women in women's sports if they say they're women, that's misinformation. That's disinformation. That's a distorted sense of what is right and wrong. But you should be allowed to say it. That's the way it works. Freedom of speech is not freedom for speech I like. It's freedom for speech I don't like. That's the whole point of free speech. Okay, let's go to your questions. Okie doke.
Hi, Dennis. My name is Heather. I live in Los Angeles, California. I have a music-related question for you. So lately, I've been noticing that a lot of the music being made today often covers topics that are inappropriate or relate to a lot of different vices, but the songs are really, really catchy and fun to listen to. So I'm wondering, do you think that the kind of music somebody listens to can affect their spirituality? And if you do, how so? I'm really curious to hear your answer. So thank you so much, Dennis.
Okay, so let me tell you something. I missed it. Oh, bummer. You'll have to find it.
All right.
That was a great question. Heather, you have no idea. Well, maybe you do. I have wrestled with this issue my whole life because music is a very important part of my life. Some of you may know I conduct orchestras periodically. I even conducted a symphony at the Disney Concert Hall a few years ago. I wrestled with this. Does the most sublime music ever written, Bach, Mozart, Haydn, Handel, Beethoven, does that make you a better person? Conversely, does crappy music make you a less good person? That's what you're asking, Heather. So as to the first one, I believe that that music has a very positive effect on me. But, and this is a huge but, the Nazis love this music too. The worst people in the world also love this music, and they were moved by it too. I'm talking about these classical composers like Beethoven. So I would say that sublime music, or not even just classical. There was a song in the 1950s, Love and Marriage Go Together Like a Horse and Carriage. Might have been the 40s, I don't know. So did that induce people to get married? Which is, I think, a wonderful thing. I don't know. Was it reflective of the world it lived in, or did it create the world it lived in? The answer is probably both. I wish that young people today had songs like Love and Marriage Go Together Like a Horse and Carriage. Couldn't hurt. So to a certain extent, I think it can be uplifting. but it's no guarantor, as I pointed out, with the Nazis loving Beethoven. On the other hand, what about really awful music with disgusting lyrics? I can't believe you're a better person for having heard it. I can't believe it's uplifting. Does it make you a bad person? I doubt it. But I think it lowers you in some way. But I'm not sure about that. The human being is a very complex creature. And it's very hard to go 2 + 2 = 4 in every instance. Can a wonderful person hear crappy lyrics and be a wonderful person? Yes. It's sort of like, you know how I look at cursing? So I pretty much watch how my mouth with regard to cursing, but there are times I do, in private, with friends, never publicly. Public cursing is a problem. That does hurt society. I do believe that. But there are people who believe one should never speak an expletive. I respect that. I look at it as a pressure cooker. The pressure just is released because we all have pressure. And if every so often a person uses that word with someone in their life, I don't have a big problem. And there are people who differ with me. I respect that completely. And the same I would say with some of this music. It's like it lets off some steam. And if you're a good person, otherwise, it's not high on my worry list. But for people who are not developed in a deep sense, spiritually, as you put it, or whatever term you wish to use, it could be another negative effect in their life. So that's my long answer to your short question. Mezbah, that's a new name for me, 29 years old, West Midlands, England. Hello, Mr. Prager. I really enjoy watching your videos. They are smashing. That's English. And very inspirational. I've recently converted. It's a Muslim name. I've recently converted to Christianity. My family have disowned me. They are Muslim. Luckily, I have a new family now at the church I go to. Do you have any advice for me as I venture into this new chapter in my life? Well, I don't know what advice there would be to give. You seem to be handling this quite well. Personally, I would love you to have relations with your family. I have a feeling that one day they will come back to you. It's a very interesting question, because I deal with this a fair amount. So your parents are obviously religious Muslims. They're not just cultural Muslims or secular Muslims. They're believing, practicing Muslims. So by your converting to Christianity, you have left Muhammad as the messenger of Allah. You have left the Quran as the final inspiration of God, Allah. You have affirmed the Trinity, which to Muslims is a form of idol worship, a compromise on monotheism. So I understand theologically where they're coming from. On the other hand, you haven't taken on any anti-Muslim ideology. It's non-Muslim, but it's not anti-Muslim. And you, I presume, would like relations with them. I also presume you're probably a pretty decent person, which is my division in the world between the decent and the indecent. No other divisions matter as much as that to me. So I'm hoping for your sake that there can be some reconciliation with your parents. And you are right to regard your new world as a new family. That's really what they are. So I wish you good luck and hopefully a reconciliation. Kathleen, Diamond Bar, California. No question, just an affirmation. My husband and I have listened to you since you were on Religion on the Line. That was my first radio show. We are Catholics who respect your stance on so many issues. May God continue to bless you with a sound mind and body. Amen. Thank you. So it's a very varied world of listeners out there. And I love that fact. Let's see. Beverly, 70 years old, Jacksonville, Florida. I'm reading the Rational Bible Exodus. That's my Bible commentary book, on the one on Exodus. I have 3 out of 5 volumes done. Why should we love our neighbor or stranger, for we might not know them? Instead, should the commandment say, don't hate your neighbor or stranger? Well, what's the difference? If you don't know your neighbor or stranger, how could there be a commandment not to hate them? So I'm not sure about the not knowing. Clearly, you can't love someone or not hate someone you don't know. So I think the Bible got it right in its formulation. Hiram, or Hiram, 26, Houston, Texas. Hey, Dennis, I'm a 26-year-old man and would like to ask how one deals with excessive pride. At times when I feel slighted or offended, I tend to let my pride get in the way of forgiveness and would like to know how you deal with it. I am reading the Rational Bible on Exodus. Great. Now, let's see what you have. Genesis and Deuteronomy. And I've been thoroughly illuminated. Thank you and God bless. So let's see here. At times when I feel slighted or offended, I tend to let my pride get in the way of forgiveness. Okay, I have 2 comments. One, I have a few comments, more than 2. You and I may have a different view of forgiveness. I think you should forgive those who repent. God doesn't forgive if you don't repent. So why should we? It's an issue I have raised all through my public career, because many Christians feel that they should forgive anybody any sin, whether or not they repent, and even whether or not they were the ones offended. I wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal about 30 years ago, because some kid murdered some other kids at a school in America. And some of the kids at the school, the same day, put out signs from the school windows, "We forgive you," and then put his name in. I don't remember what his name was. So that's not my theology. If you kill Megan, I cannot forgive you. Only the person offended, hurt, damaged, can forgive. I don't have the right to forgive on someone else's behalf. God can, but not me. And how God operates, that's God's business. But I don't have the moral or religious right to forgive you for hurting him. If you stole money from Joe and you want Joe to forgive you, great. Go to Joe, pay him back, apologize, or repent if you wish, and maybe he'll forgive you, and he probably should, providing you paid him what you owed and maybe even some interest. But otherwise, I don't believe we have the right to forgive. So back to your thing, you've been offended. I don't think you owe them forgiveness if they haven't said they're sorry. If people are forgiven, even if they don't apologize, why should anybody ever apologize? they'll be forgiven anyway. See, that's why my approach to religion is rational. What I've just asked are rational questions. My vehicle to God is reason, and my vehicle to religion is reason. It is not rational to set out the idea that no matter what you do, you'll be forgiven, even if you don't say you're sorry. Then why will anybody ever say they're sorry or repent or change their ways? So that's my first answer to your issue. You said, when I feel slighted or offended, I tend to let my pride get in the way of forgiveness. Maybe it's not an issue of your pride. Maybe you're right. Now, if they apologize and you still don't, then it's your pride. I agree. What's our timing?
Oh, you can take one more.
Yep. Okay. I'll take a 13-year-old in Landisville, Pennsylvania, Isabella. Hello, Mr. Prager. My name is Isabella Van Owlen. I'm a 13-year-old girl from Pennsylvania. I love watching Fireside Chats, and I've learned a lot from you. You know, it says a lot about you that at 13, you watch and learn from the Fireside Chats. It proves something I have become really aware of in the last 10 years or so, and even 5 years. People are born with certain unique natures, and you were born with a mature nature. Most 13-year-olds do not gravitate to the Fireside Chat. They should. Parents should bribe them to watch it, as far as I'm concerned. But it says something about your nature. So you're a special young girl. Okay, I was first introduced to PragerU when I found a man on the street, and since then I have watched PragerU videos almost every day. My question for you today is, what can a young person like me do to fight the wokeism that is in our schools and in the media that we consume? Thank you so much for all you do. God bless you and Mr. Tubbs. That's sweet. I think that's the first question that included Mr. Tubbs. The answer is that you figure out a way to calmly state what you believe, and you have to then be prepared to be ostracized, to be even hurt. I don't mean physically, but anyone in history who has gone against the group has gotten hurt, insulted, humiliated, ostracized, defriended. That's true. So if you're prepared for that, then you'll be able to fight. I mean, it takes courage today in an American school to say there are only two genders. I mean, it's incredible. It takes courage to say the obvious. Or that born men should not be competing in sports against born women. So you first have to decide, can I take it? Can I take the arrows that will be slung at me? That's the first thing you need to do. If the answer is yes, and I'll tell you what will help your answer be yes, and that is to find a friend or two. You don't need a lot of friends, but it's really helpful if you have at least one. It's hard to fight alone, but it's really hard to fight completely alone. So I want you to find kindred spirits. But we need you to fight. So I opened up with the whole free speech issue. People should be allowed to say what they want, even if it's awful. Okay, everybody, So ends 299 Fireside Chats. See you at number 300.
Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.